Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Whether your family has been on this journey for years or you're just getting started, we're here to support and encourage you along the way. And now your hosts, Lynette Ezel and Tara Melber.
Welcome to the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast. Although we're always honored to have guests with us, I know, Lynette, you're especially excited to have a special guest with us today.
Oh, Tara, I sure am. You know, when Kevin and I started this journey of adoption, we were at a total loss on where to begin. But before too long, the Lord's kindness led us to a faith-based adoption agency in Lexington, Kentucky. And as soon as we drove over that day and we met the staff, and especially the director, we knew that this agency was where the Lord was leading us. Let me share a quote with you that will help introduce my special friend today. We will care for the orphan wherever she may be found. If he is thirsty, we will give him drink. If she is hungry, we will give her bread. If he is naked, we will clothe him. If she is homeless, we will shelter her. If he is without comfort, we will hold him until he knows everlasting love. And I just love that quote because it perfectly sums up our brother in Christ, Tony Brewer, and it's all that I have witnessed in his life over these past 15 years. So welcome, Tony. Thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Praise God. Glad to be with you, Lynette. It's wonderful to be able to share with you today.
Well, we know you're in the States for just a little while, and so we sure appreciate your time.
So, Tony, for those of us who don't know your story, I was reading on your website last night that you're actually an attorney. And so I would like to know for you to share with us your story of when he placed adoption on yours and Cindy's heart and how you all ended up in the place that you are today.
Well, I had been involved in Christian education as a teacher and as a principal, and Cindy and I, in pursuit of that, went to graduate school, and while I was doing that, I got a law degree, and we moved to Northern Virginia, where I clerked for a judge for a couple of years, and hung out a shingle up there, and then one day, a young man and a young couple in our church came to me and said, "Would you help me to adopt a child from China?"
Wow.
And I worked on that question about 20 years. I had never thought about adoption. I never thought about adopting a children from China. This was in the early 90s. It was before it was became regular to do that. There wasn't even a way to do it, a set way to do it. But God used that question as I worked with that family and helped them adopt that child. That child now is at Harvard. I think she's graduated from Harvard, actually.
That's incredible.
But God used that to grab my heart about the plight and about the situation with girls, particularly girls. And that was the introduction to the whole thing.
Wow. That's incredible. So you have children. So tell me about your family and how old your children are now.
God has blessed us with five. We've got five girls, all adopted. God brought them all to us through adoption. Two were born in Kentucky and three were born in China. They are now all five teenagers.
Oh, so God bless you.
I have five, we've got five teenage girls at the house.
Wow.
And they love each other to death. But I hear a lot. You didn't ask me if you could wear that. You didn't ask me if you could wear my blouse.
Tony, you're incredibly outnumbered.
Yes, you are.
I am. Well, we love it.
Well, Kevin and I have been so grateful for our Helping Hand Adoption Agency. So how did the agency formally begin?
You know, Lynette, I should tell you a story because this is really
great.
This is really part and parcel of a Helping Hand. When that couple in Northern Virginia came and asked me to help them adopt a child from China, I began to do the research, and as I said, this was in the early 90s. It wasn't a popular topic, but there had been a documentary put out by the BBC called The Dying Rooms.
Yes.
You all may have seen
yes.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Where children in developing world country, in orphanages in the developing world, through maybe no fault of the director of the orphanage, but just without resources, when a child got to a certain point in a sickness, they would have a particular room that they would take them to and just allow the natural process of death to happen. It was called the dying rooms. And then how the one-child policy in China at that time was affecting little girls. That policy's now been changed. But that whole story grabbed me. And as I said earlier, I had just hung out a shingle, just had begun a law practice there in Northern Virginia. And if any of your listeners have ever begun a business, sometimes you might have work to do and sometimes you might not have work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if I didn't have any work to do, if I had a two-hour stretch, God burdened me with those kids, and I would just pray there in my office. I had a very small office, didn't even have a secretary. But there was enough room for me to lay down on the floor and cry out to God.
Mm. Wow.
For these girls as I learned more about them. And so if I had 2 hours, I would do that. If I didn't have any time the next day, I would just do my work. The next day I would have, usually I had a good bit of time during the week to pray. And I asked God for 1,000.
Mm.
And now there's no adoption agency. In fact, not even a single child at that point. And for me to ask God for 1,000 at that time was made just as much sense to ask for 10 million. I mean,
right.
either number seemed ridiculous. Either number seemed ridiculous. But, you know, we worked that case, and we did get that child back. And I did a few more adoptions as an attorney there in Northern Virginia. Came back to Lexington. My home's in Kentucky, and came back to Lexington and practiced. And it became clear that in order to proceed to do that, remember, God, I've asked God for 1,000.
Right.
So that's what's on my heart. That's what's the passion of my heart at that point. And I realized that to be able to really do that, we needed to form an agency, and so we did. And we operated that. I directed it for 13 years. We got to meet people like Lynette and Kevin Ezell and hundreds of other couples of that caliber all over the United States. And to fast forward a little bit, at the time we finished and moved on to the next step that we'll talk about later, I never thought about that prayer, really. During the years, we were just too busy doing the work. But when we wrapped it up and handed it over to others, I could say that God gave us 1,000
wow.
children that we were able to place and had a part in Him placing, really, in wonderful Christian homes all over America. And so it was a great privilege.
Well, one of those thousands was my daughter. Mm-hmm. And so she has been the biggest blessing
praise
in
God.
Our life. Mm-hmm. And whew, I don't want to live one day without her. Mm-hmm. And she loves the Lord. And I know
praise
when the
God.
Lord calls us home, she goes with us. And
mm-hmm.
so, Tony, we're just so grateful
praise
to
God.
You and the time you spent in prayer and your obedience to the Lord. If we're talking to families, we have some listening today that are just about to step into this calling for foster or adoption. What would you say to families who are beginning the process to open their homes, to broaden their tent, to fill the empty room in their home or fill up their minivan with more children?
Well, you can do it, number one.
Mm.
There's lots of things out there that'll be discouraging from finances to what people may say, what people may think, just stepping out of your normal comfort zone, but you can do it. If God is leading you, He will do it. I was just talking to a former adoptive family the other day. They contacted me and reminded me how they had sat in my office and said, we feel like God is calling us to do this. We don't have any money.
Mm.
And I said, I'd forgotten this story, but he was reminding me, the father was. He said that we must have had a conversation where I said, if God is calling you, I can believe with you for the money.
Wow.
And let's get started. Let's go. And, you know, God provided.
That's right.
God provided. Now, and I've worked with so many foster parents, and I'm so appreciative of foster parents. I've never seen greater hearts
mm-hmm.
than the foster parents that I've met as an I did a lot of finalizations of adoptions as an attorney, with where a foster parent was, bringing a child into their home, or just also holding their hand in the process when it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm,
but
right.
I've never seen greater hearts with that group of people, from a group of people than the foster parents are willing and interested and want to foster. What a wonderful ministry. What a ministry that God is calling to exhibit the compassion and heart of Christ when there's going to be some rough, there's probably going to be some rough things that happen along the way, but to have enough of God's compassion to stay in there. And what a rescue. That's such a rescue of a child.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, talking about tough times, I know that you and Cindy had some children kind of come and go in your home, some heartbreak. But what was one of the hardest hurdles for your family as you were going through the adoption process?
Well, as I said earlier, we have God has blessed us like you. God has blessed us through adoption. Our family is formed through adoption. But we had five adoptions that failed before before we got one that actually worked, and all of those were hard. The last one was the hardest, but we were with a birth mother all the way through the process from early on, and so Cindy would take her to the doctor, and we were in the delivery room when the baby was born.
Mm.
Cindy was closer to the. Closer than I was, but I was there, and Cindy held him first, fed him first, changed him first, everything like that. We took him home from the hospital, kept him for 3 months, and we was, you know, all the things you do with a newborn for 3 months we were doing, and the adoption ultimately failed. Couldn't get final termination rights with the birth father, and there was a lot of pressure on the birth mother, and she eventually, after 3 months, it fell through, and so we had to take him back to her after 3 months. And the only thing I could liken it to was the death of my father.
Right.
At that time in my life, my mother was still living, but it was very difficult. And it was even, of course, more difficult for Cindy.
Right.
That was our toughest experience. But you know, God uses these things, and He used it in our life. And one thing He showed me through it, I had taken the little boy out for a drive out to my home area, a farming area, and we were just parked on my family's farm, and I was thinking, God, He'll never know that we loved Him. He'll never know that we were there to love Him. That He was loved. He'll never know that.
Hmm.
I said, God, that's the hardest thing. He'll never know that we loved Him, and that's true. But the Lord showed me, He showed me His own heart for people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, that's the situation that God finds Himself in.
Yeah.
That He's reaching out to the multitude. He's reaching out and with great love. And so many, though, don't know and don't really understand and don't appreciate and don't comprehend His love for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I felt that very deeply at the time, God used it to show me and give me more compassion. Not only for other children, but for people that, He's always wanting to reach, and thankfully He does. And but that was our most difficult experience. It was not long after that the first adoption that was successful happened, and we got our firstborn, Jillian, and
yes.
Then it just seemed like they just came and came. The rest of them just kind of came in a torrent. And so we never had any more experiences with failed adoptions. After that, they all worked.
The word does tell us weeping comes in the night and joy comes in the morning.
That's right.
And the Lord has much to teach us through the painful situations.
Yes, he does. And Jillian's picture was posted everywhere in our area because her little picture in that purple sweater we used to promote adoption meetings and seminars in the Louisville area. But, you know, from personal experience, I know there was so much more to a helping hand than adoption. And our family we ate beans and rice and saved money for a year and took our three oldest children, our biological children, to China on a friendship team under your leadership. One time you were not able to go with us, but you had just put a great team together. The Lord did. And I have to tell you, Tony, that was life-changing for my children. And so those friendship teams were able to even do so much more than just bringing home, you know, a child into a family.
Praise God. Yes, we did do that a lot. And yours is a wonderful testimony about that team. And God used those teams that way, not only in the lives of in the lives of the people. And think about the people that you helped. I mean, the way it affected your daughters. That really was the start of what we're doing now. So,
Wow. That was just a blessing. I was in China not too long ago, Tony, and I learned that orphanage is now shut down, still trapped. No one gets in, no one gets out. And so we may have been the last team to go in, but I know a helping hand did so much more, you know, than just completing adoptions. How has this, with your children in your home now, your five girls, how do you see them kind of grabbing onto or putting their arms around this calling for orphans and to help in the least of these?
Well, it's easy. It's easier for me to see it because of where we live now, living in Vietnam, and they come and participate. They participate in our outreach work. I love that, to be able to take them out I know we'll talk more about this later, but we're involved in it really as a full-time job.
Right.
And so in some ways, it's just like a job anywhere else. We get up in the morning, we pray, we have breakfast, we go to the office, we do the work, and then we do that again the next day, and we do that for the week, and then we do it for the next week. But they jump in. They jump in while I've been gone. They joined Cindy and some of and my staff, who was working with a family to try to keep the family together so the mother would not have to place her child in an orphanage.
Right.
And they went down there and they were helping her with a micro enterprise project to help her make some more money for her family. And they took one of their bicycles to the middle girl. There was three children involved. Took one of their bicycles to the girl they're just kind of naturally turned toward that, and I'm glad of it.
Well, they're naturally turned toward it because you live it. You and Cindy have lived it before them, and so we are just so grateful for your testimony today, for the encouragement you will be to those families listening today, and to just say you can do it. Mm-hmm. You can step into the waters. Yes, and just how it's life-changing. You know, it's not all about us just bringing a child home. It's what God's doing in our hearts and in our lives and in the in the children, the other children in our home, and how he changes their lives as well.
Tony, it's been a blessing to hear from you and to see how the Lord has worked in your life, prompted your heart initially, and has answered your prayers. And so we are excited as you continue on in your work, and we're looking forward to you joining us the next time as we talk more about your new work called Orphan Voice. So we do look forward to hearing more from you in that. And you can find Tony's website, orphanvoice.org, in our show notes. And you've been listening today to the Adopting and Fostering Home, which is a resource of the North American Mission Board. We're excited to have you again, Tony, and we look forward to hearing from you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Praise God.